The community pride here is outstanding. We've got a lot of things coming up and a lot of people offering to help. There's never a shortage of volunteers for our events, and they all make people feel welcome when they come here. And that, what more can you ask from your volunteers than to make people feel welcome?
Thanks for joining us on Louisiana's Playground Podcast, your roadmap to all things Lake Charles, Louisiana. I'm Brady Raynard.
And I'm Jillian Quarter. We're excited to bring you another episode. Of course, we have the authentic stories and experiences of Southwest Louisiana, all the tools you need to build your own personal Lake Charles itinerary.
We are getting close to episode 100.
We are inching that direction.
Like, this is episode 89.
Woo!
We're basically there.
We're basically there.
And
already.
So we're excited for that one coming up. This is a great episode, though. We talk to Eric Zartler with the Lake Charles Regional Sports Authority about this crazy slate of sports that we've got coming up over the next few weeks, and just about how sports kind of plays its role in our ecosystem, if you will. Spoiler alert, it's a lot bigger than you probably realize.
Very much so.
But before we do that, let's take a trip down Taste Bud Avenue. I'm gonna
coin that.
Yeah, I'm gonna coin that. That's gonna be my thing from now on.
No, I want the royalties on that.
Whatever. You know the drill. It's time for On V Eats. And this week we head to Teapot Noir, a cozy little shop that opened. She made sure to mention Friday the 13th in January, Friday the 13th of 2023. So they just celebrated 3 years, but it's such a cozy little spot.
You know, this Friday is also the Friday the 13th.
Dum, dum, dum.
Just thought that was fun. Teapot Noir is a very cozy spot, like Brady said. And just so for those of you who are listening and not seeing this written out, teapot is not teapot, like in a kettle in which you brew tea. Yeah, not one of those. This is T-P-O-T, noir, meaning it's kind of like the Cajun Frenchy way of saying little
tiny,
pot.
Little, yeah, like you would call it, like T-boy would be
tea
little boy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So teapot, of course, the way many Cajuns cook their food, right?
Yeah.
Nice cast iron pot. This is what that food tastes like.
Just like Maman taught me.
Just like Maman does, you know? Yeah, it's good stuff.
Nanny.
Nanny and Paul
my
Rang.
Nanny and my Paul Rang, yeah, all of them. And that's what's really cool. She showed us the recipe book that she has. Mm-hmm. And it is truly one that is passed down from, she's picked them up from the back of magazines and butter boxes, mm-hmm. all the way to, this is what her husband's grandma taught her, or her own grandma. So it is truly like a village of information that she's then refined, and she showed us. She's like, so this is the first time I made it, and then I changed it to this the second time, and then this the third.
It's like the greatest hits.
It really is. And so she has a really eclectic mix of items every month that she publishes a month ahead that says, this is what my menu is this month. And there's multiple options, and it truly is a place you could eat there every day and get something different every single day. And we each made sure to get something different at this one.
Yes. So I'll start off. I got the baked chicken, which I know sounds bland, right? Somebody orders the baked chicken, you're going to tell them to live a little, right? Well, this is living because it is so tender, so juicy, retains so much flavor. Mm-hmm. This isn't like that, I don't know, dry baked chicken that I make at home. This is the real deal. It is so yummy. It came with macaroni, which you can tell is that homemade, is not coming out of a box.
Right.
Really, really good, really creamy flavor. Mm-hmm. It's also one of those where you eat the baked chicken with the bite of macaroni.
Yeah.
This is one of those meals where you try to get a little bit of everything on your fork at one time, kind of like Thanksgiving dinner, if you will.
Yeah.
This is that for me. I also got a side of corn that had so much flavor, I made everyone at the table try it.
She did.
Because I've never tasted corn that had that much flavor in it. Corn's just corn, right?
Like, this has got to be illegal.
Like, maybe some black pepper, maybe some, you know, Tony's or something thrown on top of it. But yeah,
lots of butter.
This was illegal corn. Like, this shouldn't have been able to be made. It was so good.
Don't worry, I've called her into the authorities.
It was so, so good. I had it also with green beans. Again, classic side, but done in such a homey, yummy, full of flavor, impactful kind of way. And I had it with a cafeteria roll. That's my, I'm using air quotes here. It's like that classic roll.
It's a yeast roll, right?
Yeah, classic roll. I say cafeteria roll, and that is not a knock against it. No. I thoroughly enjoyed my high school cafeteria growing up.
I think I've never met anyone that said, oh, yeah, cafeteria rolls are...
No.
It's they're perfect.
People
it's the
know
yeast
what I mean.
Rolls, and they're brown on the top and white in the... Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just flaky, and it's... Yeah. It's awesome.
No, it was perfect. It soaked up everything left behind from the chicken and the macaroni and the corn, the green beans and everything. And I finished my meal. I mean, she came by and she was like, can I take that from you? And I was swatted her hand away because it was like, no, I'm gonna knock this out.
Ma'am,
I'm going to finish. Tell us about your meal.
So I got a little bit more of the Cajun staple. She kind of offers like a more of a Louisiana Cajun staple and then more of a Southern or just a plate lunch place, which I wanted to make sure in case it wasn't mentioned, this is kind of really a lunch only spot. So it's a plate,
sure.
It's a plate lunch spot. And so she rotates her plate lunches. I got the sausage and red eye gravy. So it's a, like you would make any type of smothered gravy, except she uses a tomato sauce, a kind of crushed tomatoes to make a tomato gravy. And if you've never had that, it's spectacular. Her sausage is obviously cut into circles and then pan seared there to create a wonderful, wonderful flavor that is then used to make a little bit of a roux. And it's so good. It's over rice and it is just fantastic and really unlike anything else. Red eye gravy is so good. So much tomato flavor and reminds me so much of home because it's similar to something like my mother and my nanny used to make for me, pork chops or chicken. We didn't do sausage, but so perfect. You mentioned the mac and cheese. I don't want to sound like I am exaggerating, but this macaroni and cheese may have changed my life. I would die for this macaroni
without
cheese.
Exaggeration.
It was so good, so cheesy, but not over the top. Like it's that perfect where like it completely dominates whatever you're eating, but in a like you're accepting way. Like it's so perfect and so cheesy, and yet it complements at the same time. It's so wonderful. And it was good. I mixed it a little bit with the tomato gravy, and it was amazing in that, amazing by itself.
I'm telling you, it's one of those.
If the mac and cheese is on the menu, I'm saying this, and I mean this. If it's on the menu, you have to get it.
Yes.
You have to.
But again, like I said, it's one of those that you want to take a bite of that with everything.
Agreed.
Yeah.
The green beans, I got the green beans as well. They were flavorful. She really elevates the beans into being a side that's worth eating,
mm-hmm.
Besides just some boring, bland, healthy beans.
Yeah, it's not like a throwaway.
They're wonderful,
side.
Wonderful, wonderful. And then same as I should have gotten the cornbread so we each got something, but I couldn't pass up the delicious roll either.
Yeah.
Because you don't get a yeast roll everywhere.
I saw them and I thought, and well, I gotta have that.
It was so good. I also got it. We want to make sure to mention the bread pudding.
Ooh,
her bread pudding comes in the refrigerator section for you to take home if you want to. But if you say, Miss Stacy, could you heat this up for me? She's like, yeah, baby, I got you.
Yeah,
and she heats it up and she brings it out and it's warm and gooey and crispy, but yet soft.
Yep.
Wonderful, wonderful bread pudding as well.
It was delicious. But do check out, since you mentioned the refrigerated section there. So they've got some takeaway things that you can get, just run in for lunch and grab and go.
Or even for dinner.
Yeah, including several different kinds of chicken salads. So like a little bit of everything in there, including the desserts. So be sure if you stop by Teapot Noir to check that out as well. But this for a lunch spot, especially if you're planning ahead, you got the full calendar menu out so you can plan your day around this meal. It's totally worth it.
From a great meal to a great guest, we welcome on Eric Zartler, the executive director of the Lake Charles Regional Sports Authority. And he comes in with nearly two decades of experience in sports tourism. And a lot of the biggest highlights in his career have actually come in the last decade of that. Things like the 2019 USA Boxing Olympic Trials and National Championship. And then, of course, this year, really excited about this one, Eric, the NJCAA Division I Women's National Championship coming to Lake Charles here in a few months. Excited about this one. Welcome to the show, Eric.
Thank you for having me.
All right, Eric, so we get started. Thanks for coming down the hall, by the way.
Absolutely.
To our podcast studio.
What a trip.
It was a grueling trip here.
And ride down the elevator was scary.
I'm not even sure how you made it, to be honest.
I'm so glad.
I was on time.
So glad you made it. I wasn't, sorry. So glad you made it here. First up, though, we're going to let everybody know how you play in Louisiana's playground with some rapid-fire questions.
Are you ready? I wasn't prepared, but I'm ready.
You know, always ready. Only you
what,
know the
wasn't
answers.
Wasn't prepared.
Well, this wasn't in the questions you
There's only
you gave
88
me.
Of these other episodes right. that I know you've listened to
I've
all
listened
of them.
To at least 86 of them.
So that's pretty good.
That's not bad.
That's pretty good. Okay, first up, crawfish or gumbo?
Crawfish.
See, he didn't even let me finish the question. He knows the answer.
He lied.
He's been preparing for this.
Why?
Because you can't get it year-round. I can make gumbo any day of the week. 365 days a year.
And to me, that makes it better. But consistency.
I love crawfish is special, so mm-hmm. I savor it. And
it's an event.
Fair. That's fair.
You know.
Yeah. So. Okay, number two.
And it's my opinion, you said, right?
So. I said no wrong answers. Yeah.
That's right.
Okay, number two, poolside or beachside?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Have a pool in the backyard, so I love being poolside. Love the beach. But you get sand in places you don't want sand. So I'm going to say poolside.
I knew you were a pooler.
I knew he was a pool guy.
Yeah, I love the beach, though. I mean, that's a 50-50.
Brady would pick beach if there was no sand.
Yeah.
Concrete beaches, that's exactly what.
Concrete beach would be amazing.
That's what Brady wants.
That would be amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there should be a body of water and then like concrete around it. And then you can like get in the water when you want and you get out and then it's no sand.
I say we pitch that to Mike Castile to do here at North Beach, at
I
least portion of the beach.
It's called a pool.
You know what? I think you're right.
I think it might be called a pool.
Debbie right. Downer.
I know. Okay, number three, concert or comedy show?
Another tough one. I love to laugh. I love live music. I'm going to say comedy show only mm-hmm. because you can listen to live music almost anywhere. It's hard to find a good comedian coming through the area. So I would say comedy show is more of a treat, I guess.
Okay. I like it. Same theory there as that he's using the same method as
crawfish.
I'm consistent,
if nothing else.
I like it. So.
Now, let's pivot to ultimately what you get paid to do, which it's believe it or not, is not talking and cracking jokes all the time. As we often talk, though, about tourism, you know, on this podcast plenty, you know, there's so many mentions of festivals and there's food, but there really is like a huge engine behind the scenes with athletics and what people don't realize, the connective tissue between all of it. For those unfamiliar, can you explain what the Lake Charles Regional Sports Authority does and then ultimately how does it help put Lake Charles on the sports map?
Sure. So we solicit and market Southwest Louisiana as a viable destination to host sporting events, particularly those that drive overnight room nights.
Sure.
And we do that through a variety of different methods. We do it through some online marketing. We do it through some print marketing. We attend trade shows, continue to build relationships with people we've met with in the past. And word of mouth, of course, you know, that's always a good one for us. And we've been very fortunate in all of those areas to have our wins in each one of them. And, you know, just hoping to keep that train on track.
With sports, why has it become such an important market for Lake Charles?
I think one of the reasons it's important here, you know, after, I hate to say to bring up the past, but after COVID, sports was really the first thing that came back. You know, we were able to play baseball, we were able to play softball, and people, you know, even through recessions and things like that, mm-hmm. people are still going to spend money on their kids. They want their kids to have good experiences and things like that. So want them to be active. So sports is a really important role in keeping kids healthy, you know, giving them experiences, how to be a teammate, how to be, you know, good in social settings with other kids and things like that. So I think it's really important that people keep their kids involved in sports. And when they come here, they kind of use it as a, you know, vacation of sorts, you know, mini vacation, a mini getaway from the everyday life of wherever they came from. So, so it's very important because it's one of those, I don't want to say it's recession proof, but it's about as recession proof as you can get.
You were talking about bringing in these events, these sporting events that require the overnight stay, right? So maybe explain that to in layman's terms for local economy and its impact, you know, heads in beds, or my favorite phrase, Cheeks and seats. What does that really mean for like the local economy? How does that translate?
So, I mean, basically you're bringing in temporary taxpayers to the area. So, you know, I'd, I tell people all the time, I get dirty looks when I go places. Sometimes they're like, oh, we couldn't go out to eat at this place because mm-hmm. there was a couple teams there. And we went to Darryl's and they were packed with all these kids in baseball uniforms and everything else. And tell them, well, you're welcome. You know, I mean, yeah. we just brought people in here to help, you know, help the local economy. I mean, millions of dollars come through this area because of those sports. It's also allowed for some of these people, for their kids to play on some of the best surfaces, you know, that they'll find with the turf fields at the Power Center, at O.D. Johnson, the high schools, things like that. I mean, those are all tourism dollars mm-hmm. that at work, really, you know, and you add the casinos to that mix,
yeah.
all the plants and the corporate business we have here. And, you know, we try to keep the weekends full with sports business as well as some weekdays when we can. So.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, the number last year was 7 million of people that were here, and you know at least 2 to 3 of those were from sports tourism.
Correct.
And what you guys were able to do. How do you pitch that? The pitch to these organizations to come here, bring their event here, bring their championship here. How do you pitch that?
How do you sell Lake Charles?
So, I mean, back in the day, when I first started, I say back in the day, like it was so, so long ago, but a couple of decades ago.
Back when we had to hand crank our car.
Back in the
with
black
the rotary
and white,
dial phone.
Back in the black and white days. Yeah.
The sundials were everywhere.
With the flip phone where you had to do the texting and push the 7 3 times to get the letter you want. But no, in all seriousness, I mean, back when I first started, it was kind of easy. Nobody had what we had here. Mm-hmm. You know, Sulphur Parks really was the catalyst in putting our sports tourism on the map, especially with our diamond sports. Power Center came on shortly thereafter at Ward 3 Recreation. O.D. Johnson's been a good player in it as well with the City of Lake Charles. And, you know, we offered things here that nobody else could offer. You know, we had the casinos so you could, you know, have a little getaway with your family. Parents could have a little fun. Kids could have some fun. All good. Then came the popularity of turf fields. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so now, you know, with Lafayette having a bunch of turf fields, Beaumont has a bunch of turf fields. We have a bunch of turf fields. So it's like we have to do something to separate ourselves and get people to cross Lafayette or Beaumont to come here from Houston, Baton Rouge mm-hmm. and beyond. I always tell people and people that have come here have found it to be true as well, is that what sets us apart is the culture, the people, and the food. You can go to Beaumont, you can play in Beaumont, you can play on a turf field, and you can go back to your Holiday Inn Express, and you could go get a burger at Whataburger or wherever you want to go, and there's nothing wrong with that. You can go play in Youngsville or Broussard. You have to travel pretty good ways to get to your hotel because there's sure. not a whole lot of hotels in that area. Here, you can come play. You're 5 minutes away from any facility, 5 to 10 minutes away from any facility, and some of the best food you're going to get, and you're going to meet some of the best people in the mm-hmm. world. So, people that have come here and experienced it all agree, you know, that's just what sets us apart. They feel welcome when they come here. We do everything. Our team, you know, works really hard to make sure they feel welcome. So I think that goes a long way in it.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess uniquely qualified to kind of add something here. And when I was in news, so I spent 10 years covering youth and sure. high school events. And I did so in New Orleans and Baton Rouge and Monroe and Shreveport and out of town. And my favorite place to come was always to Sulphur because Absolutely. The volunteers wanted to be there.
Yes.
The event, everybody that was in charge. And then so now seeing it on this side, nothing's changed. You see the passion behind it and it shows. It shows when you travel and you go to go eat something and it's like, no, we didn't just get a thing from Popeyes or a thing from here and cater this event. Like every one of these volunteers set and made this.
Yeah.
Like Absolutely. Everyone wants to be there, wants to contribute, and it shows.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure the last time I went to a tournament, it was your daughter who was putting the wristband on.
Oh, yeah.
I think, or selling me yeah. a ticket. I think that was the case.
The community pride here yeah. is outstanding. You know, from any part of Southwest mm-hmm. Louisiana, really, you know, we've got a lot of things coming up and a lot of people offering to help. You know, there's never a shortage of volunteers for our events, and they all make people feel welcome when they come here. And that, mm-hmm. you know, what more can you ask from your volunteers than to make people feel welcome?
So clearly Lake Charles in Southwest Louisiana has earned the title of youth sports capital
100%
of Louisiana, right?
Absolutely.
So how do you take that and transition it into landing these big collegiate events?
You know, upgrades in facilities things like that. You know, Townsley Law Arena, formerly known as the Legacy Center. You know, when we had the Junior College Athletic Association folks in town for U.S. Sports Congress, which is a large sports tourism conference that's held annually in December. We won the right to host that a couple years ago, and that's what brought the junior college folks to town. They saw the Legacy Center at the time, and were like, yeah, man, this facility is phenomenal, perfect for our Division I Women's Basketball National Championship. Mm-hmm. So we visited with them a little bit, visited with the folks over at McNeese with Heath and his team, and got together, put our heads together, put a bid in, and here we are. You know, we're a little over a month away now from hosting our first of three Division I Women's Basketball National Championships. Aubrey Caldwell, who's on our team, our sports event and marketing manager, she and I were in Casper, Wyoming for this event last year, and we had a list several legal pages long of things that we can do better than Casper. And we will do better than Casper, that we are already doing better than Casper, and really trying to just make them feel at home. When they've come in for their site visits and things like that, they've been blown away at the work we're doing on it and the reception from the area and how excited people are about it.
What does it say about us that we're able to, that transition was possible, right? Like you went from events that were large and impactful, but the prestige factor, you know, might not be there for, you know, a youth tournament, for example,
sure,
even though it is very impactful for us. But when you're starting to land national championships, conference championships, that's a whole nother level up.
Absolutely. You know, and I'll use this as an example. You know, you had mentioned earlier USA Boxing, Olympic Trials, and National Championships. When we won the bid to host that, shortly thereafter, the U.S. Olympic Committee, Tammy Liddy from the U.S. Olympic Committee came in, and we drove around Lake Charles for about 30 minutes, and she looked at me. She goes, "How did you get this event here?" And I said, "I presented a bid." And she said, "Cities like Lake Charles are not supposed to host national championships and Olympic trials." And I said, "Well, my mission is to prove you wrong." So I dropped her off. This was in August. I dropped her off at the airport in December when she was leaving. The last night she was here, she pulled me aside and gave me a USA Olympic jacket and told me there's no reason that cities like Lake Charles shouldn't host events like that.
That's awesome.
Part of my pitch was, thanks to the efforts of you two, you know, when you were at KPLC, Brady and Jill, you were there. You know, you can go to Dallas. You can bring your event to Dallas. You can bring your event to Salt Lake City, Detroit, wherever. And sure, it's going to be a great event, I'm sure. But it's going to be a blip on the radar for cities like that. You know, you're not going to compete with the Utah Jazz. You're not going to compete with the Mavericks and the Dallas Cowboys. You come to Lake Charles in December, bring it on. You are the number one act in town. And it showed from everything from what was done on television to the newspapers, radio stations doing interviews almost every morning. The public that came out for that event was tremendous. People still to this day, 8 years later, 7 years later, are still asking, when are we getting it back? Sure. When is it coming back? That was awesome. You know, of course, we moved the finals over to the Golden Nugget from the Lake Charles Civic Center, which was the name at the time, so I'm still allowed to say that. But we moved the finals over to Golden Nugget that Sunday, and then we had a couple box-offs on Monday, and it was so well received here. They loved it here. They loved the food. They still, when I see them at trade shows and stuff, we're still on their radar to come back. It's just, sure, a matter of getting a few things back to where they were in the area so that we can accommodate them. So,
well, look, we had you on the show obviously to talk about all the work that you've done and the Sports Authority has done up to this point in terms of bringing these events. But the real topical reason is, we are about to start a jammed pack slate over the next few weeks. What is it? 7 weeks, right?
7 weeks, 10 events.
Just crazy. Can you kind of go over that calendar to kind of point out the numerous events coming to Lake Charles?
Absolutely. So, I mean, things really start kicking off on Lundi Gras that Monday before Fat Tuesday with the Southern Texas PGA Pro Am Am tournament at Golden Nugget. It's a big tournament. We get a lot of pro and amateur golfers out of the South Texas area. They'll be here that Monday and Tuesday competing at Golden Nugget. Then, of course, you know, right after Mardi Gras, we roll into the One World, One Love with Aaliyah Finnegan gymnastics meet at the Lake Charles Event Center. That event has already sold out, over 800 gymnasts coming in from all over the country. Super excited about that coming in February 19th and 21st. The same weekend, we have the Louisiana Short Course Swim Meet at Sulphur Parks and Recreation. So a very busy weekend there. Following that up, we have the high school VEX V5 Robotics Championship at the Louisiana Region 5 STEM Center at Lake Charles Boston Academy. Really cool event there. Something different. You know, robotics, gymnastics, those are two events that are new to our area. Mm-hmm. Things that we've never really hosted here before. You know, we used to have a gymnastics meet called the Gumbo Cup Gymnastics years ago. Nothing to this scale. Yeah. This is massive. We start off March with the Marucci First Pitch Classic, sponsored, powered by 2D Sports.
Sam, that one's going to be fun.
That one's going to be a lot of fun. Sam Moore on our team has done a tremendous job of putting together some of the best talent in the country. We have some 12 high school teams, three locals, Sam Houston, Barb, and Sulphur coming in. Well, staying at home, I should say, not coming in. And then we have nine other teams coming in from all over, from Florida to Oklahoma, Texas. There's only one other Louisiana team in St. Thomas More. So some state teams that won state championships last year, including Sam Houston.
Yeah.
You know, teams that are perennially ranked nationally. So very excited about the level of talent that's going to be in here for that. We'll be holding games at Barb High School, Sam Houston High School, and at McMurray Park at Fields 40 and 41. Just a tremendous event, and you know, special thanks to Marucci and 2D Sports for helping us out with this. You know, they got on board really quick when we pitched the idea, and you know, the teams that are coming in, you know, excited for those coaches and those kids to come here and show us what they got. You know, the next day we start the Southland Conference basketball tournament. You know, men's and women's tournament starts, and then the day after that starts March Madness, the LHSAA boys basketball state championships. So, you know, we're really excited about hosting that event again, both of those events again. We get a couple days off, and then we run into the Louisiana High School basketball coaches all-star games, boys and girls basketball all-star games at Townsley Law Arena on March 21st. And then the next day, we start the National Junior College Athletic Association Division I Women's Basketball National Championships. I've learned how to say that really fast.
Really good, yeah.
I practiced in front of a mirror. So that's awesome. And then on the tail end of that event, we're hosting the Louisiana State Junior Wrestling Meet at the Lake Charles Event Center. So over 1,000 wrestlers coming in from all over the state for that event. So we are just incredibly busy. And then to kick off April, you know, we get 2 or 3 days reprieve after junior college. Junior college ends on the 31st. And on April 2nd, we start the AJGA, American Junior Golf Association, Lake Charles Championships over at Mallard Golf Club. So just one thing after another, you know, and we love it. I mean, I'll say that, you know, our team, Aubrey Caldwell, Sam Moore, we have two interns on board with us in Kennedy Daniel and Lexi Araby. You know, can't prepare them enough for what's about to happen to us and the hands that are going to be needed on deck and everything else. And they understand the assignment, I promise you. And we plan on every one of these people leaving here saying they can't wait to come back.
You know, one thing I noticed just looking through that list over the next couple of months is so much of it's obviously happening at the Townsley Law Arena. And, you know, having a facility like that now in Lake Charles, of course, the next question is, where is there room for more growth, right? Because, I mean, these are back-to-back-to-back events. How are you going to fit anything else in there?
You know, there's always April.
Right?
You know, I can't thank McNeese enough for their partnership and working with us to make these events possible. I mean, when Heath and Dr. Burkell at the time and then Dr. Roos, you know, made the negotiation with the Southland Conference basketball tournament and really put the Legacy Center at that time on the map, you know, it just opened some new doors for us. You know, and I know at first when that center opened, I think it opened as the H&HP Complex. So when that facility first opened, people were like, why do we need another arena? Mm-hmm. We have Burton, we have the Civic Center. You know, that arena, if you haven't been to a game there, there's not a better basketball atmosphere I don't think in this state than Townsley Law Arena.
That's a fair.
It's very intimate. Sure. You know, and that was one of the attractions for junior college. You know, that they wanted a more intimate setting, something where the fans weren't so far away from the action. Mm-hmm. You know, and not that's not a knock at all on Burton or Lake Charles Event Center or any other complex, any other arena in the state. It's just, it is what it is. It's a more intimate arena. You know, it gets loud quick.
Yeah,
you
know? And it's built for this purpose.
Absolutely.
Right?
It's built specifically for basketball, which is the only one of those three that is. You know, Burton hosts rodeos, things like that. The Event Center hosts a bunch of different events, and they all can host basketball, but this is a basketball facility.
It's just a completely different. Event, like the Southland Conference, when McNeese, for example, was in it last year and got to go to it's completely different. It's an atmosphere that is unique.
That's absolutely right.
And so, you know, you kind of talked about that from the Townsley Law Center to all of our baseball complexes. Where do you see the room for growth in the next 5 years here in Lake Charles? And not to spoil your answer, but why is it the downtown indoor sports complex?
Did you think I was going to say that? it is definitely the indoor sports complex that's slated to be downtown at the site of the old Capital One Tower. That is such a game changer for us. The nearest complexes that are anywhere close in scope are Bryan College Station, Texas, Monroe, West Monroe, Louisiana, which, you know, takes that I-20 corridor, and then Panama City Beach, Florida. So when you look at that and you look at the potential for what we can do with 8 basketball courts or 16 volleyball courts or 24 pickleball courts or 120 cornhole setups, what does that do for our area or any combination of those? Mm-hmm. Not to mention just the floor space for dance competitions, gymnastics mm-hmm. meets, cheerleading competitions, judo, karate, all the other things that come with that, anything that can be done on a flat surface indoors, wrestling, you know, it's sky's the limit with it, really. Talking with JD Wood over at Sports Facilities Companies, who we've been working with for a number of years on this concept, you know, their relationships run so deep with Nike and Under Armour on their basketball tours. And, you know, the last large scale basketball tournament we held here for youth, they used 17 different floors in different locations. Every one of them, the largest one had 2 in the same location. That was at the Power Center. So when you look at the staff that goes into putting that on, and now we got 8 under one roof, mm-hmm. you know, that's major. You look at volleyball. We don't do a whole lot of youth volleyball here because the most we have is 2 courts under one roof, and they need 10 to 12. Well, we're going to have 16. So you look at what that's going to do for our area, and then just all the other things that we can bring in that building are going to be tremendous. Not to mention the local use of the facility. You know, when we're not using it for tournaments and things like that, the locals are going to get an opportunity to go in to a state-of-the-art athletic facility and work out, walk, go lift weights, go play some basketball, pickleball, whatever they want to do.
But have you thought about the fact that you will no longer be able to sleep once it's here?
What is sleep?
Yes.
Already, okay.
I don't do it now.
Right.
As long as you've realized what you've done.
I require very little water, food, and very little sleep. So.
Yeah.
And a lot of Bud Light.
A grow lamp. That's right. It. Just in his office.
Honestly, if I get more than 5 hours of sleep a night, I'm usually grouchy. I'm not a big sleep guy. Never have been. You know, take an occasional 30-minute nap when I can or whatever, but I'm good.
I wish I had that illness.
I'm a power napper more than I am a sleeper. So.
That's great. So, okay. What's on your bucket list to bring to town?
Gosh. That's such a tough question. I guess on my bucket list is two things. One is to become the permanent home or long-term home of the junior college women's basketball championships. You know, and learning a lot in the last year and a half, 2 years that we've been working with them and presenting bids and really following a lot of junior college. Their boys basketball has been in Hutchinson, Kansas for 500 years or not that long, but I mean,
since the invention of basketball,
pretty much. Their baseball championships have been in the same location for a number of years, but none of their women's sports have a true home. They're in a place for 2-3 years, they move on to another place, and they're really looking for that same experience for their women. So they would love nothing more than for us to be successful here in our 3 years, which I have no doubt we will be, and to make this a long-term home, you know, for that. The other thing is to get in a rotation with USA Boxing to where we host their Olympic trials every 4 years. That's been a dream of mine. We were supposed to actually host them again in 2020. Everybody knows what happened in 2020 here, so I'm not going to rehash it. And they just haven't made their way back here yet. But we've had some discussions about some type of rotation and coming back here every 4 years for Olympic trials. Mm-hmm. And that would be pretty darn cool.
That'd be cool.
It really would be. So those are two big things. Always, you know, looking for new opportunities. We've had some conversations with Ultimate Long Drive. I think it would be really cool to have an event like that here for long drivers like Brady, who could just, you know, hit a golf ball a mile, things like that. And
2 miles.
Have you seen him golf?
2 miles. My bad. It's
I've actually got some pop in the driver sometimes.
It's not what they say at Mallard.
Philip came home one day after golfing with Brady and said, "We said, did Daddy golf well?" And he said, "Eh." And he said, "Well, what happened?" And he said, "Daddy gets mad after he hits it, and he does like this, and he starts showing us how he's throwing his club on the ground."
So you and I have the same game, Brady.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Probably the only difference is I go back to my car, chug a Bud Light, and you go chug a bottle of water.
So. Well, he has to tell his four-year-old, "Don't tell anybody what I just did." Right.
So as we kind of wrap up this conversation, while there's a ton of sports fans in town, there's plenty that aren't. How do you think those that maybe aren't sports fans can really still feel the energy of these championship events when in town? Because it's pretty apparent if you love sports, you can go to it. You can see it in action and you're all in. What about those that maybe aren't as interested in sports?
When you see them around town, just embrace them. Tell them thank you for being here. You know, shake the coach's hand, you know, give the kids a pat on the back. Congratulations on making it here for your championship, or thank you for coming here for your tournament. You know, as I said earlier, these are just simply temporary taxpayers to our community. So they're not here to do anything but spend money, compete, and have a good time, you know. And in most cases, win a championship is the end goal for a lot of our events, obviously.
And for all the non-Louisiana-based ones, go home and brag about, "Oh, my God, did you know that how good this food is here?"
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly, right.
And how awesome the people are and how great everything was and just the experience they had. Share the experience, you know. Snap a picture with a team or something if you see them around town at a restaurant. Be like, "Ran into this team from Corpus Christi or from Wyoming." Yep. And, you know, you never know who you're going to meet, you know, who's going to come through here. Especially now with having this junior college tournament, you're going to see a lot of 4-year college coaches, NCAA coaches coming through here recruiting. Mm-hmm. You know, so you see people posting pictures. "Oh, I ran into Lane Kiffin. He was in town recruiting this kid from Sam Houston." And, you know, I think that same excitement's going to be here, especially during events like that and the First Pitch Classic. I look for that to have a lot of recruiters.
Scouts are welcome.
Absolutely. Always.
Yeah. And look, I'll just say this as a person who is a fan of sporting events, but not necessarily a fan of the sport itself. Like, I literally own a shirt that says, "I just hope both teams have fun." Because
she is the reason we have participation awards.
So I'm not all about the fundamentals of the sport, right?
Right.
But I love the atmosphere of a sporting event. Nothing beats that to me. So even people that you're talking about who might be just, you know, occasional fans or maybe aren't big in high school basketball, but go to these events, experience them, and you'll realize kind of what we're tapping into here in Lake Charles. Because truly, I have been to all sorts of these events, you know, following Brady around these last, you know, 16 years. And nothing beats that atmosphere to me.
And you know, I honestly think of this a lot when I go to these events. The events we host here are some of the purest form of sports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's kids having fun.
Yeah.
It's kids trying to get to the next level. It's kids emulating who they saw on TV, or who they went to Houston, New Orleans to see in a professional game. It's awesome to see, and it's awesome that that is still around in sports. So same thing, even at the junior college level, you know, they have tons of talent on the floor.
Yep.
And these girls are trying to go to the next level. They're trying to get to a 4-year school. So they're working hard. They're doing all the things they need to do to get there, just like the high school players are, just like the youth players are. And it's awesome to see them put the work in and, you know, the joy of winning and the agony of defeat. Isn't that the mm-hmm. phrase?
Something
you know?
Like that.
You know, and I enjoy watching kids learn that, you know, and then as they get older, the emotion stays the same and the excitement just gets bigger and bigger.
Thanks again to Eric for joining us here on the show. And the biggest thank you of all, you should know by now who it goes out to. It's you listening there on your... Yeah, I was going to be specific, but I'm just going to say your device. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a rating or review.
Of course, that helps us grow our audience and further share the unique experiences that Lake Charles and all of Southwest Louisiana have to offer. Go to visitlakecharles.org/podcast for more episodes, advice on where to eat, and events that are happening this weekend. I'm Jillian Porter.
And I'm Brady Raynard. Thanks again for coming to play at Louisiana's Playground.
Set you.
Yeehaw!